I just closed a sponsorship for $10,000, and my lead coach, Joe, just closed one for $7,000. And instead of just celebrating those brand deal wins and moving on, we thought, what if we completely deconstructed these deals for you? How the conversation started, what we pitched, the negotiation moments, what we included in our deliverables, and honestly, where we probably left money on the table or could have done better. Because here's what I believe. The best way to learn sponsorships isn't from polished case studies. It's from watching people who are actually in it break down their thinking in real time.
All right, Joe. So I got to tell you this story, dude, because, man, I've been talking with this sponsor, it seems like, for over a year. I don't know if you've ever had those deals where they just seem to drag on forever. And it just seems like it has to go through a bunch of different like decision makers and approval rounds. And so the fact that this deal actually got over the finish line, man, I was pumping my fists in the air. Because it just felt so satisfying to like this huge long sales process actually came to fruition. So that was sick. And so for me, a big part of kind of the next chapter of this business is figuring out how can I most capably serve a brand across all of the different things that I'm doing. So when I first started this, all I had was really the YouTube channel and like some social media, Instagram, et cetera. But now I've got the newsletter. Now I've got the podcast. Now I've got the in-person event. And so I'm constantly thinking, it's not going to be like a prefix package for every brand. It's like, where can I slot this brand in to have the biggest impact for them? Obviously, it's going to benefit me as a downstream positive benefit. But really, at the end of the day, I'm focused on what is the brand trying to accomplish. And so when I first spoke with this brand, the primary thing that they mentioned was that they were releasing a huge new feature. Their software tool was going to be available for Instagram and Facebook creators now, whereas previously it was only available for YouTube. And so I was like, okay, well, and that was a big part of the delay, actually, was this feature, like, wasn't going to come out and it kept getting delayed and all that. So let me real quickly just list out what the deliverables were as part of this deal. So I had one newsletter integration. It was a dedicated blast. One custom short form video talking about their tool that I don't even post. It's actually going to go specifically on the brand's website. 12 months of usage rights for that video. They can't put it on social media and they can't run ads with it, as well as three podcast like integrations talking about their tools. So I want to actually get your take here about the dedicated video that I'm going to make for their website, because this is actually something that we help a lot of our creators with, our clients with in our coaching program, is they think, oh, the only way I can get a sponsorship is if I like publish this video on my platforms. But in this instance, like the brand didn't even care about that. They just wanted kind of to leverage my name and likeness and social proof to put on their site to encourage people to join.
Yeah, this is really important, right? Your trust as a creator goes beyond just your audience, right? This is like where my bread and butter is, really, because like I haven't built the big audience, or at least since changing niches, but the brands that hire me know that I'm a trustworthy face, that I'm good at teaching and delivering. So I don't want to say like you're an entity, that sounds impersonal, but you are more than your follower count. Right. You have built, Justin, as you've been saying, you have influence, and that influence extends to wherever you are. And so like I know that we've had people say like, hey, they just want to use my video on their website. Like, how much do I charge for that? And I know you always say that, what's your hell yeah number? And the value that we're delivering is that they don't have to make the content. They don't have to script it, and they don't have to hire some actor to pretend that they know and like this product. They have you, who understands the product and can speak well to it.
Hey, just a quick heads up. My in-person event, Sponsor Games, is happening March 15th to the 18th, 2026 in San Antonio, Texas. It's the only event in the world where you can practice your sponsorship pitch, do real-time negotiation role play, connect with other creators landing 4- and 5-figure brand deals, and potentially win our cash grand prize. Here's what Doc Williams had to say about where his business was at before attending Sponsor Games.
I just felt defeated. I didn't know how to talk to brands confidently. I hadn't closed any long-term deal, and I felt disillusioned. I was like, I don't think I can really make money on sponsors, but if I can win the games, can make money off of that. And then going out, I was like, this feels sustainable. This feels like I can actually do this with my business long term.
Any big wins that you can share after the event?
I mean, pretty much all my deals. But afterwards, I was like, we've done multiple 15K deals. And friends of mine, when I told them about, like, you just have to do this. My friend, he's always complaining. No one hits him up, blah, 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 blah. He'd never made more than $500 from a sponsor. I was like, just do this method. I was like, read this. And he closed him at 35K for 6 events. He's a local creator in a small town. And it was just because of that one thing in the bio.
So if you want to have the same transformation that Doc and his friend had, go to sponsorgames.com to grab your ticket. We're capping it at 75 creators this year. And actually, I forgot to tell you the craziest part. Every single meal is catered. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. We're basically blowing a huge chunk of the budget on amazing food. So what are you even waiting for? Go to sponsorgames.com to grab your spot.
All super great points. And I think on the surface, like, you could hear the number of deliverables that I just listed, which is basically just like one newsletter blast, a video, and like a couple podcast integrations, and think, how did you convince a brand to pay you $10,000, more than $10,000 in this case? Yeah. For that set of deliverables. And I think this is the beauty. This is the magic of asking about the brand's goals. I listen. If I just came to them and be like, you know, here's how much I charge for like a, you know, a podcast integration, and it's a la carte, and just like pick on the menu and ask what you want. No, I said, this is a bespoke custom recommendation. This new Facebook and Instagram integration is releasing in your tool. Here is the best way that I can spread the word about that. They didn't even have in mind the idea about the custom video on their website until I brought it up. And they were like, oh, wow, this is such a great idea, because we've been struggling to articulate the value proposition of this tool. And what better way to do that than have the guy who's actually using the tool to give an authentic testimonial and recommendation that we could then put on our website. And I'm very happy to like be on that website because I love the tool. My contact was able to use that justification as fodder to go to their superiors and to say, here's why we should pay Justin 10K, because he's going to help us further spread the word about why this integration is important.
Yeah, because like, even if the higher ups, the decision makers, don't see the value in paying an influencer to post something on their properties, they definitely understand the value proposition of a celebrity spokesperson, right? An outside party that already has trust. That's a concept that is as old as radio, at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's super smart. And again, understanding their goals, because we are not the McDonald's of creators or whatever. So I guess McDonald's is not going to sponsor this podcast.
We got to leave all of our options open here, bro.
Yeah,
come
that's
on.
Right. That's right. Yeah. If we want to get the bigger brand deals, we've got to be the Gordon Ramsay, restaurant of the creator space, where we are creating these amazing custom things from a great menu.
Well, not only do I take issue with how you pronounce niche, I believe it's niche.
Uncultured swine.
Well, it's hard because I have heard the saying, the riches are in the niches, but I reject that. Because I do think it's niche. We got to talk about niche because, look at me. I am a sponsorship coach. I teach sponsorship strategy, which is super, super like, specific. You could look on the surface at the number of views or the number of downloads that I get on these podcast episodes or these YouTube videos and say, he's getting less than 1,000 views on these videos. But I look at that and what I say is like, these are 500. These are 1,000 creators who are building businesses, who are watching these videos, who are listening to these episodes, who are on my newsletter. And I can tell that story to a sponsor. And so this is why I think it's so, so important that you figure out what is your USP? What is your unique selling proposition, your value proposition, however you want to say it? And if you don't have one, if you struggle to articulate that story to a sponsor as to why they should pay you 10K, even if you don't have a ton of followers, you really need to sit and think about this just really meditate here. Because if you can figure out how to, there's this famous book called The Blue Ocean Strategy, right? It's like, how can you not fight and compete in the red water where everyone else is competing, all the other lifestyle influencers who are all kind of talking about the same thing? How can you go into open waters, into blue ocean, where you're really the only vessel there?
Yeah. And a really important thing to remember about this is that you are going to get red ocean pushback, right? Mm-hmm. People reach out to me. They're great, like, point. Joe, we love your content. You're so good at teaching. Will you do an affiliate video for us? And I'm like, I use the, this is why affiliate doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. And they say, what's your rates? And my rates are always more than the CPM or whatever internal thing that they've calculated. And they'll say, well, you don't have enough followers to command that price. And I'll say, if that's how you feel, reach out when things change, because you have expressed what my true value is. If you were just looking for views, you could go to an ad network and just sell there or buy there. But you came to me because you said you liked my content.
The other really important pivot that you can make to that objection that Joe just described, if you're ever in that situation where they say, oh, you don't have the, you know, follower count or whatever to command those rates, you can educate them and remind them that actually follower count doesn't really matter anymore. Look at any of the short form platforms, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, whatever. Like, the fact that you click subscribe or follow on someone's platform, basically, it matters a bit. It's a bit of the signal, but the majority of the algorithm now is viewer behavior, engagement behavior. It's not about who you follow anymore. Jack Conte had this famous talk at South by Southwest a few years ago called The Death of a Follower. It was about this very topic, that following, it's not really about the follower count anymore. And so a lot of brands are still looking at your follower count as a proxy for influence. And it's up to you. It's your job as a consultant, not just a creator, to remind them of this fact, that good content will stand out. And especially it's irrelevant if you're just creating content for their knowledge base or their software tutorial area. Like, it doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is so true. And like with podcast downloads, it's the same, right? Spotify changed earlier this year, a few months ago, whatever, to count the, like, to change streams to plays. And now if you play 1 second, it counts as a play. So like that inflates my downloads, right? But that's not going to help your conversions at all if people don't even get to the ad, right? So engagement is the important part. Leveraging the trust of the creator is the important part. And like you said, this is such an old industry. And like what we're doing is not, but the way things are measured is so old that it is our job to educate and show how things are changing and what the real value we bring is.
Two other comments I want to make on this deal before I hear about your deal that you landed. The first is that this was the top package that I provided them. So they picked the top package, which was awesome. And they basically did have zero pushback, which felt awesome. But when it came time to paper the deal and actually like get a contract together, they basically said like, hey, this will go a lot faster if we can just use our current affiliate tool, because they already have like an affiliate tool that they use.
Yeah.
And they have like a master service agreement with this software program or whatever. And they're like, we'll just like put like a custom like numbers in there for you. Like I know it's not your standard process of like doing an agreement or whatever, but like this is just going to be so much faster and you'll get paid way faster. And you know what I said? I said, sure, it's fine. It's not what I usually do, but like, I can be flexible. Great. Like if that makes it so I can get paid within 7 days or whatever, I will do it. If that's already been approved by your, you know, accounting, you know, department or whatever. And so I just wanted to like share this as like a little lesson here, that you don't always have to be like super rigid in what your process is as a creator. If it makes it easier for the brand to actually work with you and green light it, just do it and stop complaining.
I have always said, make it as easy as possible for people to give you money.
Exactly.
It as easy as possible for them. I don't know about you, but the benefit of my brand using their affiliate platform was I got hit with no fees. They paid me online and I got hit with no fees because they pay the affiliate platform. So like, you know, that it was like a win-win for me. Oh, I get paid faster and I don't have to pay a transaction fee. Stripe just took $20 from me for issuing a refund moments after the payment came through.
Man. Well, all right. So let's hear about your deal. How'd it go down?
Before we move on to me, I do want to ask you, you said this took a year.
Yeah.
What was the follow-up like? Because something that I know I hear all the time, I suspect you hear all the time, is how much follow-up is too much? When do I start getting annoying? How did you keep the conversation going?
So really what was the biggest friction point throughout all this is that the release date for the feature kept getting pushed. And so really the entirety of my follow-up strategy was just like, hey, how's the feature development going?
Yeah.
Is there anything I can, you know, questions I can ask as you're developing that? Would you like me to test it out, try it out, you know, like how this integration is? I'd be happy to kind of be a little, you know, guinea pig for that. And that really was it. And so every basically couple months, like, or no, a couple weeks, sorry, every 3 to 4 weeks, I would just follow up and I would say, hey, how's it going? Like, is there anything I can, you know, do? And they just kept giving me updates. They were not annoyed at all. In fact, one of the most recent update prior to actually us getting into the negotiation was like, hey, we released it, or like it's about to release, it's imminent, but we want to make sure that it's stable and that it's working as people start onboarding before we shine a huge spotlight on it with marketing dollars. Right. Because think about it from the brand's perspective. They don't want to like release it in day one and then they do a sponsorship with us and we point hundreds of creators at it to try and download it. And there's a bunch of bugs. So you have to, like, a big part of this, I think, is like, imagine you're the brand. Imagine it was your tool, your software program, your product or whatever. You want to make sure that if you're going to spend marketing dollars to get people in, you don't want their onboarding experience to be atrocious and then they churn mm-hmm. and they cancel their account because it has a bunch of bugs or flaws or whatever. And so you just have to think like a marketer, think like a business owner sometimes, and be empathetic to the fact that these are the reasons why there's delays sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But the follow-up you did was, it wasn't, hey, are you ready yet? Hey, are you ready yet? Hey, are you ready yet? It's, hey, how can I be useful to you until we get to the point where you are ready? That little switch is really important. We always want to deliver the value and answer like, well, hey, what's in it for them?
And the fact that you're following up at all. A lot of people right. will say like, oh, the feature's not out. It's taking so long. They'll come back to me when they're ready, when it's released or whatever. Like, no, they'll probably forget they about you. Not. They'll forget yeah. about you and they'll forget about the fact they wouldn't have even known that you'd still be interested, actually. Right. So if the onus is on you to maintain that enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my story is very similar. Now, I had done a previous deal with this brand where there was a mismatch. They are a big company. They have a lot of different areas. And there was a mismatch between the thing that they wanted to promote and what I thought would be best for my audience. And so the first sponsorship, the first sponsorship didn't go as well.
Okay.
They weren't seeing any conversions because the tool that they were promoting is not the one that is for my current audience.
Okay.
And so we had a conversation after, sent the old PCR and recommended a new approach, and they wanted to switch to full affiliate, and they still sent me talking points and deadlines. And I was like, hey, this is if I can, but again, like this thing that you want to promote is not, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to move the needle. And we left it there for a while, followed up earlier this year. Started talking to my contact again. They are moving around a lot of things and they wanted to start promoting the things that appealed to my audience and what in their offering was great for my audience. So I sent them three packages. The first two had a price and then a price less some higher affiliate commission, right? This is one of the only brands that I'll do this for. The third package included paid usage rights. And so there was no affiliate commission. What they said was, we don't want the paid usage rights. Can we swap this out for something else and still pay you full upfront? So we're doing a 3-month podcast integration campaign, 3 featured sections in my weekly newsletter. So basically 1 per month, a 4 YouTube video educational series, 3 YouTube shorts, $7,000. So, and much like you said, Justin, my YouTube videos, they don't, you know, I have a couple that are in the 5 figures. Most stay in the 2 to 3 figure range.
Okay.
But the benefit is that I am a great teacher. I'll be talking about them and their tools and why their tools are still the best tools to use for busy solopreneurs or busy business owners.
And they can point anytime anyone has a question that's maybe on their customer list or customer base that has a challenge with a particular scenario, hey, go watch this video that Joe did for us. He goes into it in a lot of detail. He's an actual customer. He walks you through it. Like, how do you put a value on that? If your video prevents one of their customers from churning, how do you put a value on that? Right. And so they're paying you a one-time fee to get a basically ongoing benefit to serve their customers. I think that's like a hugely, in fact, we actually have a coaching client of ours who I'll anonymize it because I don't want to talk his game. But just landed a 12-month deal where did an initial consulting arrangement for a brand, helped them understand what their content strategy should look like, specifically on YouTube. They came back to him and said, you know, this was really, really great. And we realized we actually can't do this ourselves. Can we hire you to create the content for us that will live on our YouTube channel, not your YouTube channel, it'll live on our YouTube channel. And this deal is going to allow this creator to quit their 9-to-5 job, which has been a goal for them for a long time. And so like, I just think like, anyone listening or watching this, you really are underestimating. Brands don't have it all figured out. Oftentimes, they're limited resources. They don't have a ton of bandwidth, and they'll probably hire someone like you, Joe, because it just makes their life easier.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and the landscape changes so quickly, right? I mean, in 1 year alone, TikTok is gone and it's back and it's gone and it's back, right? How is our strategy affected by this? Last year, another big brand that lots of people use, like the founder almost torched it. How do we proceed from here, right? And for people like us who are in it all the time, brands need to rely on people like us and our information and our experience, right? And one of the huge benefits I've learned of my approach to creating videos and why this brand likes me and why other brands like me is I don't just say everything is great and wonderful. Right. This is a little strange. They could probably change the way this is done, which signals to them I am actually using it. It allows them to send that feedback to their, their developers. But it allows my audience to see he's not just only saying nice things because he's getting paid. So that increases the trust level between me and my audience, or the brand and the audience.
Can we talk for a second about how you found the confidence to kind of continue the conversation with them even after the initial engagement didn't go so well? A lot of people we work with feel very sheepish when they do an initial deal with the brand and then, like you said, didn't generate a lot of sales, didn't get a lot of views or whatever. And then they're just like, you know what? I'm going to stick my head in the sand, never talk to this brand again. As long as they pay me, I'm never going to talk to them again because I'm terrified, I'm petrified. Because if I ask them, hey, do you want to work together again? They're going to be like, what are you kidding me? You didn't even generate any sales. How dare you? You know, like the gall, you know? So like, where did you find the confidence to keep engaging with them?
You know, I think about something that you say a lot in different ways, but it's that I know I can help them and I know that they can help my audience. And so I never view it as I'm just trying to tap the well of money, right? I know that the value that I can bring to the table for them, and I wouldn't do this for everybody. There are brands where it went poorly and I know that I can't help them. Right. So like for whatever reason, like the people who make you price via CPM and then also have you do make goods if you don't come within 10% of that CPM, they're only looking for volume. And so they need to go sponsor Apple Podcast top 10 list. Right.
Right. Right.
I can't help those people. But for people
that's McDonald's. That's McDonald's.
Yeah, that's McDonald's. Right. Yeah. But for people who have an education gap, those people, I am a great teacher. And I say that confidently because I've been told that a lot. So when I know that I can bring value to a company that is trying to make headway in a certain area, I will never hesitate to reach out to them. And I know that at the end of the day, like, it's nothing personal. There are no grudges. My point of contact is not the person who's making the final decision on price. And so if I can make her job easier and she can in turn make her boss's jobs easier, then again, that's a win up and down the line. So as long as I know I can help them and it's valuable to my audience, I'll keep reaching out until they say, hey, never email us again. Right.
Now, a few things for you to mull over as you're watching or listening to this. What is your unique superpower? Just like Joe said, he's an amazing teacher. What is the thing where you can puff your chest up and say to a brand on a phone call, I am outstanding at this. And if you trust me, if you put your faith and your confidence and you invest in me, I will ensure that you're going to achieve the results that you're after. What is that thing for you? And also, how can you just be easier to work with? Whether it's being flexible on payment terms, being flexible on how this contract is put together, being flexible when the brand brings up anything related to how you actually executed the content. Oh, could you do a voiceover for us? Change this little thing. How can you just be easier to work with? Also, I hope you're putting together packages for every deal. You're not just throwing out one number, spinning it back to them. You're saying, here's package 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's all the ways in which I can serve you. And I hope you're following up. I hope you're not just being annoying, just want to put this to the top of your inbox, just circling back here. No, you're not saying that. You're providing value. Now, if you want to see me land a sponsor in real time where the brand actually let me record the negotiation, watch this episode right here.